I just want to start out by thanking God for being able to do this camp. You know, he really allows us to do all of these wonderful things. And I also want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr for all of his love and assistance and guidance throughout all this stuff, to be able to have stuff like this. It is a privilege. I feel incredibly privileged to be here with you and to do this. And I went to a camp like this when I was a teenager, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So much so that when I went home, I told my parents, thank you so much for sending me to that camp. I just had the best time of my life. And something happened inside of me that just seeds were planted, and they're still bringing forth fruit from that time. And that's why I love to do these things, because I'm in it with my heart, and I invite all of you to be in it too. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to share on believing tonight. You know, this time that we have here at camp, it is a pivotal time. There's so many decisions that need to be made in all of our lives, and in particular, the lives of young people. And those decisions need to be right. Don't they?
Yes.
And they need to be right with believing the word. God's never going to use us. He's never going to try to get us to do stuff that's going to hurt us. He would only guide us to do stuff that's going to be the best. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Maybe you think you know what the best is, but do you know more than God?
No.
Only like half the people said no. So the other half, do you know more than God?
No.
Well, this is so great. My goal for all of us here at this Youth Advance is that we believe the word we hear. Just understand that it's God's word and that you want to believe it. And we don't take a penknife to it and cut it up and stuff like that and think, well, I want to believe this part, but not this part over here. We want to believe God's word. Romans 10:17 is kind of our theme verse for this. I wrote it in a letter to you, those of you who received the letter. Maybe some of you came that didn't get the letter, but this verse is really incredible. It's so educational. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God.
The word faith is believing. So if you want to write that in your Bible, that's fair. This word faith is believing. So then believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by YouTube. The internet. Pick a website. No, don't, actually. Believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the deal. And that's what we're doing. And I'm so incredibly thankful and blessed. I want you to understand how blessed I am to be here with you. I mean, I just want to groove with you and vibe with you and, you know, get into this believing thing with you, like, you know, 6-7 time, you know what I'm saying? I got to say it like this, 6-7 time, guess what? My license plate is 6-7. After the first letter, it's 6-7, just so you know, you could check if you want. But this topic of believing is one of my all-time favorite topics in God's word. This topic of believing is what is really the first thing that just struck me as a young person. When I got in God's word, I was 11. I couldn't even come to this camp because I was 11. And my dad said to me, you want to learn about God and learn about believing? And I contemplated it for just a little bit. I was sitting in the back of the car in between the bucket seats in the front, thinking. I'm thinking catechism, church, but I don't know anything. So yes, I was smart enough to say yes. And then I went to my first fellowship. And then from there, I took a class called Power of Abundant Living when I was 12. And that, what I got out of that class was, besides a lot of drawings in my book, that I could believe God. And that's what truly stuck with me and struck me in such a way that I knew that little old me, who still had an entire suitcase full of what do you call action figures, I guess, is the boy name for it, but really they're like dolls, right? They're like Superman, Batman. Do you even know Shazam? I had Shazam and the Hulk and all of them. And here I was taking a class about the word and speaking in tongues. Yeah, I see big eyes like, whoa, that's what I had, okay? Sue me. So this topic of believing is just, it's what really lit me up inside. That little old me could pray and believe, and guess what? The future now is going to change because I did something. I prayed with believing. And that's how I conducted really wanted to conduct my life from that point forward. And it's just incredible. Romans 5. Wanted to just look at this here briefly because this is so sweet. Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet," what?
Sinners.
"Christ died for us." God commended his love toward us. That's like when we just knew nothing. God just introduced us and made us acquainted with his love. And God loves us. And this is a huge deal. And as I was looking at and thinking and praying about this camp, I was just like, love, love, love. You know, that's a melody from a song, right? It's God loves us. And what does that mean? Like, why did he want to love us? And what is that all about? What's the deal with that? Look at Romans 8:39. God loves you. He loves us. He does. Do you believe that he loves you? I mean, that we're talking about believing. Romans 8:39 says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I mean, we need to actually believe that God loves us. And that is a game changer. Man, go to Ephesians 2:4. This is just an incredible truth. It's a life-settling truth. Ephesians 2:4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his what?
Great love.
Great love, wherewith he loved us." He doesn't just love us a little bit. He loves us with a great love. And one more on this topic, 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. We need to believe that God loves us. Man, and if you just get anything out of this entire youth advance, get that. Believe that God loves you. 1 John 4, verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God had to us." What great believers these were. They have known and what?
Believed.
Believed. Let that be said about us, all of us, that we know and we believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. We believe God loves us, and that is beautiful. I think in manifestations, God said we needed a God, didn't he?
Yeah.
So great. It almost sounds like duh in a way, right? But think about it. We needed a God, and God loves us. And if you believe that, man, God wants us to know and believe that for a reason. And it's so great. You know, the adversary hates us. But God loves us. It's quite a contrast, huh? We need God's love. And that's just tremendous. God's love and that love that he has is just the greatest motivating force there is. So Romans 10:17 said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God.
The word believing means, you ready? This is the definition of believing. Believing is trust and confidence. It's being persuaded, accepting the word of God without any doubt. That's believing. It's trust and confidence, being persuaded, accepting the word of God without any doubt. And you know, when you sat down in your chair tonight, I didn't see any of you, and nor did I, check the chair of its structural stability to hold you. You just plopped right down and you sat down in your chair because you just knew that it could hold you, didn't you? That's believing. You believe the chair can hold you, so you just utilized it and you sat down. And that's how we believe God's word. We just trust and have confidence in it. We're fully persuaded about it. There's just no doubt. And how does believing come? By hearing the word of God, like we're going to do at this camp, this youth advance. There's going to be teachings by several people, and some of them don't even know who they are, which is fantastic. And some young people. So what I did with the crew helping, I said, everybody prepare 20, 30-minute teachings. We'll see who's going to teach at the youth advance. A few people know, but many don't, which is really exciting, isn't it? I don't even know, to be seriously truthful about it. I have no idea yet, which is great. So believing, this is why we have fellowships, to hear God's word.
So that we could hear God's word. Most of you, I would imagine all of you, go to a fellowship, right? Where you hear God's word.
We go so that we could hear God's word and believe it and fellowship. And man, stuff gets stirred up in our lives and hearts, and we act on the word that we know. Believing is action. It is a verb. Believing is not just a mental game. There's something called mental assent, and that's not, shouldn't have anything to do with this youth advance whatsoever. This is not a mental gymnastics exercise. I don't need that, okay? Just believing the simplicity of the word is what it's about. Let me ask you something. Would you like to please God?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a nice thing to do?
Yes.
Well, go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Book back, a few pages away. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, that's believing, it is what?
Impossible.
Impossible to please him. That is an incredible truth, that you can't please God without believing. It's impossible to please him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believing is what pleases God. So if you want to please God, believe him. It's beautiful. It's simple. It's great. And you can all do that. We can all please God. I don't care how old you are. You could please God because you could believe his word. It's not works. It's not doing stuff. It's believing. And then because we have that believing heart, we act on the word and carry out God's word and bring it to pass in our lives. Go to Hebrews 11, chapter 1. We're in 11, yeah. Verse 1. This is also a really incredible verse on believing. Here's a biblical definition of this believing here. It says, now faith, that's believing, okay, is, so believing is, that's like, this is what it is. You want to know what believing is? It's about to tell us in the verse. Believing. Now faith, believing, is the substance of things hoped for or prayed for. That word hoped for is prayed for. We're not hopers, okay? Hope, when you hope, the thing just never happens. We're believers. and we pray. This word hope is prayed for. So faith, believing, is the substance of things prayed for, the evidence of things what? The evidence of things not seen. Let me tell you, if you ever go to court and you need to defend a case, what do you need as a lawyer?
Evidence.
It's a thing. Believing is a thing. When you have believing in your heart, it's a thing. It says here, it is, faith is the substance of things prayed for. That word substance, it's title deed. That's what that word means. It's a title deed. Now, if you were praying for a car, and then you got a car, but it was coming next month. So you walked out with the title deed. Can you ride the title deed and drive people around? But you don't have it yet. But you have the title deed. So guess what? What do you know? It's coming. It's yours. You own it. You own the car because you have the title deed. So when you pray with believing, you own it. You have the title deed. That's what God says believing is. That's not my definition. And that's not in the dictionary. That's God's definition. This word believe is really, it's wild to see how people use it today. People use it to cast doubt. Someone will say, I believe the movie starts at 9:30. Or I believe he'll be here at 12. It's like they don't know, but they use the word believe. That's not the proper biblical use of believing at all. You know when you believe. There's no doubt. That's believing. Isn't that cool? God's word defines it right there in beautiful Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence prayed for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Which leads me to this other beautiful verse that, I just love this next verse too. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. The evidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Looky, looky here. This verse says, for we walk by faith, that's believing. Not by what?
Sight.
The evidence of things not seen. We walk by believing, not by sight. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the total opposite of what the world believes. The world promotes the most logical, scientific thing, that I have to see it to believe it. Well, guess what? That's not believing at all. Believing is believing before you see it, of things, it's evidence of things not seen. And when it comes to God and His Word, that's why we're called believers, because we believe. And we don't have to see it. That's like walking like the world, where it's all about the senses. And guess what happens with the senses? It's so easy to get tricked, so easy to get lied to, so easy. Magicians do it all the time, trick people. They don't know what they're seeing. You cannot go by sight in this life. You have to go by the truth of God's word. Isn't that cool? It's the greatest pushback on the world, to walk by believing and not by sight. It's so cool. I love that about believing. Romans 10. Romans 10. Be cool if you retimerize this verse here, these two verses, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You should know it by heart, so when you speak God's word, you can tell people how to be born again. And here it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt what?
Believe
in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believing is what we do in the innermost part of our heart. All of you believed that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, didn't you? At some point in your life, you heard it and you believed it. And thank God for that. You made up your mind and you believed it. That innermost part of your heart is the most special place there is, because that's where believing takes place. And you should guard that, baby. You should not let stuff in there that doesn't need to be there. And you need to get out what might be in there that needs to get out. That is like your heart, man. I mean, can you imagine your house with open doors and that anybody could come in and piss in the living room wherever they want? You do not want to have that going on in your heart. This is just awesome. Did you see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ get crucified and get up?
No.
But yet you believed it, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's believing. That's believing. You didn't see it, but yet you believed it and you spoke in tongues, which is proof that it happened. If you, all of us have the ability to speak in tongues. And that is proof that you have God in Christ in you and that Jesus Christ got up from the dead. That's a witness that he got up from the dead. So fantastic. Believing provides access and entry by our free will, and it's how we got born again. It's great. So if you could believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, okay? You did, right? You said you did?
Yeah.
Then why can't you believe everything else God's word says? You absolutely can. You believe something pretty much ridiculous, that a man was dead for 3 days and three nights, but he got up from the dead. He was resurrected, never to die again. You believe that. So why can't you believe that God is going to take care of you? Why can't you believe that you're righteous before him? Why can't you believe that his mercy and grace just never end toward you? Why can't you believe all the things that God's word says? If you could believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the answer is, yes, Mr. Mercado, I sure can. 1 Thessalonians 2. My prayer is that we're all challenged to believe at this youth advance as well. To believe God's word, like maybe you haven't believed it before. To really just accept what God says and stop screwing around. But to really just let go of any things that are holding you back. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you." That what?
Believe.
Believe. God's word works in you that believe. Believing is not hard. It's not strain or drain. It's just accepting it, that it's true, and it's so simple. Can anyone quote John 17:17. Matthew?
Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth.
Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. God's word is true. It's not man's word. When you hear it, you know, I'm sharing God's word. If you think this is my word, that's not accurate. This is God's word. When we speak God's word, you're not speaking your word. You're speaking God's word. You don't have to apologize for God's word to anybody about anything the Bible says. It's not yours. It's God's. I was talking about that with Thaddeus today, with people. We're not speaking what, you know, pushing our beliefs on people. We're speaking God's word. And if somebody wants to believe it, great. And, you know, it's so cool. A lot of people do. A lot of people do want God's word, just the purity of the word, not religion. People can't stand religion. I can't stand religion. Religion is terrible. It's dark. It's, ugh, it's disgust. But the love of God and the truth of the word, people want that, man. They want it. They really do. Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You see this? Men lie, but God is not a liar. Why would he need to lie to us? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He just is. His word is the truth. It's not a liar. His word has integrity. He means what he says and says what he means. God knows exactly what he's saying. And when he speaks, look what it says there. The end of this verse is pretty awesome too. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? When God is involved in a situation and you have his word, it gets good. It's so much better. It's so much better. You know that I work as an architect. So I don't know some of you, but I am an architect. I'm not a theoretical one. We draw stuff and it all gets built. We draw things and we build. And the greatest thing that we could build in our life is believing. Believing the word, just brick by brick, step by step, believing God's word. Because one thing leads to another and you grow. And that's just the greatest building there is to do in our lives, is to build believing. The truths of God's word are that as a body and a family, we can believe together that we are what the word of God says we are, that we have what the word of God says we have, and that we can do what the word of God says we can do. And we should all really help each other to believe those things, you know? I'm not going to go through all the verses of that stuff. Maybe some other people that share the word are. But I want you to tell me some of the things God's word says we are. Who wants to say?
Righteous.
Righteous. Go ahead, shout it out.
Sanctified.
More than conquerors. We are redeemed. We are
light.
We are
love.
We are son. We are forgiven. We're sons of God. We're ambassadors. Now, what are some of the things we have?
Power.
The nine manifestations. What about who's in us?
Christ in us.
We have these wonderful things. And, you know, you can go to God's word and share all these things from tremendous verses about these things. Each one of them is just incredible. You could spend like a year of your life just studying one of them, the depths of it and what it means. But it's simple that you could understand it, like righteous, the ability to stand before God without any sense of silt, fear, or condemnation. How about that? Can you do that? You can, because God made you righteous. Because it's not about what you did or didn't do. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what God sent his son to do. And did he do it? He did a perfect job at it. He paid for all the sins of the world. And God got him up from the dead. That's why we could stand before God righteous, because that happened. Do you believe that that happened?
Yes.
See, you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Then all of a sudden, because you see, oh, why did he do that? Because he paid for the sins of the world. So then, okay, now I can believe I'm righteous, right? You see how it builds? And it just keeps going. It's so great. And what are some of the things God's word says we can do? All things. That's right. All things. And we can do so many things. This is what believing is all about. That we know these things. We believe these things. We're fully persuaded of these things. That you know that you know that you know that you know these things. So that when anything comes about that contradicts the things of God, you don't even pay it, no, never mind. You're just like, doesn't even rock you for 1 second. Because you know that you know that you know that you know. You're fully persuaded. There's no doubt. That's believing. Matthew 21:22. Matthew 21:22 says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, guess what the next word is?
Believing.
Believing you shall receive. What's the use of praying about stuff if you're not believing? You know, and I think sometimes we just don't even pray because we know we're not believing. It's a waste of time to pray without believing. But when you muster up the effervescing inside to accept God's word and believe his promises, then you have a lot to pray about, don't you? You have a lot to believe when you're praying. And that's awesome. We have to get out of the box, so to speak, you know? And I think of the old flea. The little old flea example. There was a flea. And this little girl had him as a pet. And she made a little shoebox and made a little bed and a little kitchen and a little living room in the box with her little carpet that she made of fabric and put in there and made a little house for the flea. And she had the shoebox on top of the cap, you know, what is it called? The cover, the lid. On the shoebox, and the little old flea would jump and hit his head on the top of the box. And it hurt a little bit every time the little guy, poof, poof, poof. So we realized, oh, I'm just gonna jump right up to here and then down. And now he's not hitting his head on the box, top of the lid anymore, right? Okay, and then one day the little girl just lets the flea go in her yard. But the little old flea just only jumps, guess how high? So high, just that little height. And that is just a shame, isn't it? When the flea could now go as high as it wants. We need to get out of the box in our believing. There's no lid on this thing. You could just jump as high as you want in your believing. That's freeing. You are free people. You have a God that loves you, and you're free to believe as much or as little as you want. The little old flea. That's why we have to bust out of the box. And then, of course, there's the elephant, which is the same exact example, except the chain on the leg of the elephant. When there's a baby elephant, he doesn't have the strength to pull out the chain and the stake that's holding him in place. So he just rocks there and tries to pull, but as soon as he tugs on that chain, the chain just yanks back and he can't pull it out because it's just a baby elephant. Just the cutest little baby elephant. And the elephant grows, and just every time he pulls, he feels the tug. So as soon as he feels the tug, he just doesn't even pull anymore because he knows he just can't lift out the stake. But as the elephant becomes an adult and has the power to rip that stake out of the ground effortlessly, basically, as soon as he feels the tug of the chain, he stops. This is why an elephant is known for its great memory, because that's how they're trained. Elephants can rip those stakes out so easily if they believe they could, because they can, but they don't. We have to break the chains in our lives of believing, to just be free to believe as much as we want to believe of God's word and not be held back. The adversary is the one that keeps us bound. And he has no right on your life at all anymore, because you belong to God. That's who we belong to. And we do not have to be in any kind of chains at all. Our greatest example of believing is guess who? Jesus Christ. He was not God. He was a man. If he was God, his believing would be like, so he was God. All the things he did, what would it matter? He was God. Of course he could do that. But if he's the Son of God and he was a man, that changes everything, doesn't it? Jesus Christ set the standard of believing that we could look at in our lives. And go to Mark 11. Mark 11. Verse 22. It says here, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." And that's just believe God. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray," what? "Believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them." That's exactly like Hebrews 1 about praying with believing and having it before you see it. That's the title deed. That's the ownership. You get that little effervescing inside and you just know that you're going to get answered prayer. You just believe it. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 3. Luke 17, verse 3. It says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." So last night, I was home, and I hear from my bedroom. I'm in my room with my door closed and I hear, and then I hear, "Ow!" I kind of cracked up. Because just hearing that, it's just funny. But then it's like, okay, wait till the one that smacked gets it back. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to mention names, but you know who I'm talking about. "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our believing." Jesus, seven times in a day I'm supposed to forgive? Increase our believing, Lord. That's some hard stuff right there. Verse 6, "And the Lord said, if ye had faith, believing, as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." All right. Jesus Christ was teaching about believing. You want to forgive seven times in a day? You can, because you could believe. It's great. These men knew all about the mustard seed, and we basically don't know anything about it. But a mustard seed was the smallest little thing, and in the word it says Jesus Christ called it the least of all seeds that be. It is so small. Some say it could be in your eye and you wouldn't even know it. You know, when you get a little something in your eye and you're like, I think there's something maybe, and it's a little dot, that's a mustard seed. And yet it can grow into just the largest mustard tree. And this mustard seed is just a little one grain. And Jesus Christ said, verse 6, "If ye had faith, O believing, as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be planted in the sea, and it should" what?
"Obey."
With the believing of a grain of a mustard seed. And a sycamine tree was, you ever see those trees with the roots that go along the earth and they're sticking up out of the ground like this high? And the roots are like, you can't even drive over them. And they just go out to the whole length of the canopy of the tree. That's the sycamine tree. Even by today's standard, to move one would be extremely difficult, even with the heavy machinery we have. But what did the Lord say about it? Believing of a grain You got a grain? Do you have a grain of believing? That's what Jesus Christ taught. You got a grain? And I said, I have a grain. Why not? Of course, it's so great. Jesus Christ was not trying to get them to move a tree. Okay, because the whole thing was about forgiving your brother or sister. That even tough problems can be handled by believing the word. And that you just apply it and big problems become really small because of what believing can do. And that's just a great lesson to learn. Okay, let's go to Mark 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Mark 5, verse 21. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she might be what?
Healed,
and she shall live." So a man has a need. His daughter's dying. And look at this believing, okay? This reminds me of Caitlin. Because Caitlin had a back injury. But she texted me and said, but basically, I'm coming. And she was like in the ER. And I was like, I love you believing, baby. Look at this verse again. 23. He besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands upon her. And that she may be what? Healed. And she shall live. That is a statement of belief. He knew that if Jesus Christ came, then she would be healed. And Jesus, verse 24, went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, so this now is in an interruption with what he's going to go do, and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That's what she said. She was sick for how many years?
12 years,
and spent all her money on doctors. But she said, if I just touch Jesus Christ's clothes, you know, this is like a garment right here. Boom, healed. And straightway, verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue or dunamis, that word virtue is dunamis, which is power, that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me? His boys must have just been like, sometimes Jesus Christ is crazy. Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing, and this is really respect, and trembling, knowing what was done in her, and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy what?
Faith
or believing hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What about if somebody touched your clothes someday and got healed? You got God in Christ in you, baby. There's no change. There's no lid anymore on us. We're free. We could believe God. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow them that what?
Believe.
Why can't somebody touch your garment and get healed? We got Christ in us, man. It absolutely is available. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. And going back to the other story before the interruption. Now, we read this quick, but those words must have struck like a knife in his heart. Let's read it again. Synagogue's house. Thy daughter is dead. Troublest thou? Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what?
Believe.
As soon as he heard it, he put a stop to it. Be not afraid, only believe. This would be so difficult as a father to control your mind. And it's renewed mind believing that we have the ability to do. You can control your mind. You do not have to let it go and freak out, ever, okay? You can control your mind and think what you want to think and guide your mind to believe the word. And Jesus Christ told him, be not afraid, only believe. So this man stopped, probably like similar to stopping a freight train coming right at him and just sticking his hand out and just stopping it cold. Verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly, because they witnessed the death of a young girl. 39, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed into scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and the damsel of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee what?
Arise.
And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Girls that are 12, stand up. There they go. Little girl like that. How cute. I'm sorry, but you're cute. Both of you, sit down. So, did Jesus Christ pray? No. He knew what to do. God worked in him, and God gave us the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Information that's humanly impossible to know by the five senses. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom, knowing what to do. Jesus Christ received revelation, and he knew what to do. And receiving that information and knowing it means nothing unless you what? Act, believe it and act. And that's why that girl lived, because Jesus Christ believed and acted. He accepted what God told him and he did it. And that little girl was healed. So great, so great. So there's others in the word, you know, who did amazing things too. It wasn't just Jesus Christ, right? And I'm sure we'll see that this it's not a weekend because we're here Thursday, right? Guess what? We're starting a weekend right on a Thursday night, baby. Yeah. So the prime of our lives is any age that we believe. Doesn't matter how old you are, man. Makes no difference whatsoever how old you are. You're living in the prime of your life when you're believing God and His Word. It's great. We're going to close here in Ephesians. Actually, there's two more verses. Okay, sorry. We're going to close, though, in these two verses. So Ephesians chapter 1. The real question is not to be or not to be. The real question is to believe or not to believe. So much boils down to just yes or no. What's it going to be for you with God's word? To believe or not believe? That's really the question. In Ephesians 1, verse 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what?
Believe.
Who believe according to the working of his mighty power." The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. We have power. Jesus Christ walked with power. And now we have power. To usward who believe. That's all it takes is believing. And there's joy and peace in believing, man. There's such joy and peace in believing. Do you see how privileged we are? How wonderful it is to be in the Word together? And Hebrews 10, 23. Last verse before we break it up here. Hebrews 10, 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, believing, without wavering. For he is faithful that promise." What matters is not how much word of God we know. It really doesn't matter at all. What matters is how much of the word of God we believe. That's what matters. You got to have the nerve or the girt. That's a good word. You got to have the spunk or the moxie. That's another good word. The cojones, you know what I'm saying? To believe God. You got any?
Yes.
You got any grit? You got a grain?
Yes.
You got the moxie? You got the cojones?
Yeah.
To believe God? To disrupt the things in this world? Jesus Christ was. He caused some waves, didn't he?
Yeah.
They're still flowing. His waves are still flowing. Well, we believe this word of God with passion. We believe it with a commitment and excitement. So believing is to believe, is to trust and have confidence, and it's being fully persuaded, accepting God's word is, that's it. There's no doubt. We want to believe that God loves us, because there's a reason for that. We want to believe, and then we receive. We want to just go rogue in this world and not have any bounds on us, any limits, any chains. To believe God's word, the importance of believing, the importance of what you decide to believe in this life. How important is that? It should be so critical for you that you give your believing to God and not to other lies in this life. Pretty deep, huh? But it's actually very simple and beautiful. So, Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that we have the ability to believe and that we do. Thank you for how exciting it is to have your word and utilize it in our lives to help us and to be in this great family with you. Thank you for everybody here in that we can just believe you more and just build on this believing that we have in your word. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.